Will you turn to the portion we read, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26? And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, What mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered their houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. This morning we were thinking of what the communion meant and its significance for the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the way in which it meant fearful suffering. It meant him taking of that cup of suffering that was due to his people, all his people, and drinking it to the last dregs. The darkness that came down when the sun should have been at its brightest. The one that was designated the light of the world consigned to darkness. The one who was the beloved of the Father, there confessing to be forsaken by the Father. And all because of the sin of his people laid upon him. Tonight I want to try to tie that up and to ask the question, what does communion mean? Not for the Lord, but now I want us to ask the question, what does the communion mean for us? There are so many different ways we could answer it. Just simply to base our thoughts and meditation on a phrase, we have something. We have, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 says, we have forgiveness for sins. Romans 5 and 1 says, we have peace. Hebrews 10 says, we have an approach, a new and living way that Jesus has opened for us. We have, Hebrews chapter 4, we have a great high priest who sympathizes, understands, and who can pray for us. Hebrews 6 and 19, we have an anchor for the soul. So many ways in which we could profitably think of what the communion means for us. But what I want to do instead is to take this question that we have in verse 26 of our text and to use it asking ourselves the question it poses. Whenever the Passover came around after the book of Exodus, down through the generations of the children of Israel, whenever the Passover came round, the children were encouraged to ask the question, what does this mean? And that gave an opportunity to recall the events that are recorded for us here. To tell about the slavery and the bondage in Egypt. To tell of the way in which the Lord brought plagues upon that land and the people were resistant. To tell of the last one of all, the Passover, and its significance, especially involving blood, the way in which it was applied to the door, the way in which they, through that Passover, were delivered and escaped free from Egypt. All of these things could have been legitimately revisited and retold to the children. And the focus all the time was upon the was on the sacrifice. Notice the answer that is given in verse 27. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. It's a sacrifice that's at the center of what they had to tell and to remember. And it is a sacrifice that's at the center of the communion for ourselves. The recalling, yes, the retelling would enable the Israelites to engage more meaningfully in the Passover. They would be prepared by rehearsing the history to understand afresh the significance of what they were then doing. And I want then to take that question down through the years to ourselves. What do we mean by this that we do next Lord's Day if we're spared. We have these preparatory services to examine ourselves as to how we come, but also we've got to ask ourselves, how do we leave it? And what do we take with us? And what have we got out of the communion services? What does the communion mean to you? Let me suggest four or five simple ways of answering that question. What is the communion? Well, first of all, it's a remembrance of a death. We remember the Lord's death till he comes. There are different ways in which we can remember things. Remember when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, they put up a cairn of 12 stones after they crossed the Jordan. Equally, Samuel speaks about raising their Ebenezer, their marker, their memorial, to testify that God had helped them. We have ways of remembering the commandments engraved on stone. Today we have things written in a book. There's always the danger of forgetting. Our memories are often like a sieve. Things go in, and just as quickly, things go out. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of what the communion is all about. To remember a death. And one of the best ways in which we can remember things is through having a ceremony associated with it. And as we go through the details of the ceremony, yes, there's always a danger of ritual creeping in. There's always a danger of going through the motions, as it were. But we've got to be aware of that danger and to protect ourselves against it, to be exercised to come to the services in a frame of spiritual mind to appreciate what is happening before us. And when we have the ceremony, our memories can be refreshed. The same way as we still have a Remembrance Sunday. It reminds the nation of the deliverance in a time of war. And it takes the minds of those who were involved in it back to those who stood with them. So also when we have a ceremony, the Lord's Supper, we have the table, we have the wine, and we have the bread, and they all remind us of something. And wherever they are before us, whenever we do remind ourselves of these things, the focus is with us as it was with them. It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Great facts, these great facts, will not pass out of our minds so long as we regularly remember the Lord's death. This do in remembrance of me. And as we say that, we must always remind ourselves that this is, yes, the privilege that is given to the Lord's people. But it is not something that should be seen as only theirs to celebrate and to go through. We must all attend these services because it is good for every one of us all to have our memories jolted and stimulated by the remembrance and the enacting of what takes place. The table, the wine, the bread, they are all a visual aid, at least, to remind us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is it? And whose death is it that we are reminding ourselves of? This do in remembrance of me. We are remembering an absent friend. Jesus has gone away. He who loved these disciples better than anyone else has left them and us for a while. And just when there is the parting of a way, when there is the parting of a journey, of company, how often we like to have a little memento, just a little minding, we call it, just a little something that will keep our minds exercised towards that friend that's absent from us. Out of sight, but not out of mind. And the table reminds us of an absent friend of our soul, our Saviour, our Shepherd, our great High Priest. And just as we remember who has gone from us, we also have to focus and ask, what is it particularly about that friend who has gone? What is it particularly about him that we are to remind ourselves of? What is it in all of the richness of the character of our Lord that we are to remember particularly? We are to remember his love. The supper, the Lord's Supper, is a memorial of what Christ did for us upon this earth. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And we remember that love. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. That's what we are remembering as we come to the table, remembrance of his death. We go through the garden, and our mind suddenly fixes upon the way in which he prayed and sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. We carry on in the mind in our journey, and we come to a cross outside the city wall. And we join with the crowd as we hear what's going on. And we hear the cries that have come from the Lord as he is on the cross. And especially that one that we mentioned this morning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the suffering and the passion of these places bring home to us and promote within us again this remembrance. He loved me. He loved his people. That's why he did and went through these things. We celebrate his love, his wounds, his agony, his death. Yes, he's gone from us. It is expedient, it is necessary, nevertheless, that he go from us. He is about the business of his people, doing us more good than if he had stayed. Because where has he gone to? He's gone into the presence of God the Father, and there he presents the case for his people. Things go wrong in our lives. Disasters on different scale come to visit us day after day. Things come around the life, the corner of life, and shock us, hitting us, unsettling us, promoting anxiety or doubts or whatever. So many different varieties of experiences, but all the while we know that our High Priest is about the business of his people. He is within the veil, pleading for his people, using his power, pleading his merit, using his dignity. He, although we're separate and apart, he will never forget his people. And that's what we remember as we remember his death. We remember, yes, every Lord's Day we remember his death, we remember his resurrection. But next Lord's Day especially, we will remember this death upon the cross and the purpose it achieved and accomplished. Remembrance. But one last thought before we move on. He will return. This do till he returns. We look back and we remember his death, but we also look forward and we anticipate his kingdom. What we've got by way of communion, it's something for the wilderness journeys. It's something for the spiritual pilgrimage in this world. It's something that is temporary, transient. He is coming. He is going to return. And when he does return, he will gather his people to be with himself. And he will take them into glory there. The hand is on the door. He is imminent, there, ready to come. All we have to do is to wait for the handle to turn and the voice to summon us. Just as you have it in the Song of Solomon, second chapter. Arise, my beloved, a dove, a fair one. Come away. He's calling for you. The remembrance of a death. But what else does this, what else does the communion mean? Not only the remembrance of a death, it's also the revealing of a meaning. This remembrance, this do in remembrance of me, for you show the Lord's death till he come. You're demonstrating something. There is teaching in these symbols that will be presented before us next Lord's Day. And they go together with the words of the Gospel and the Epistles, and they together have a tremendous rich teaching for us to appreciate. The bread that is broken speaks of the body of our Lord broken. We were thinking this morning of the physical, but especially the spiritual suffering. The beating and such that came upon him from the crowds. But then we find these things receding and we come to the focal point of his suffering, where he was forsaken by the Father. The sins of his people laid upon him. Broken for you. The benefit of his death coming to us. The wine poured out, speaking of his shed blood. A violent death he suffered. But that blood is precious blood, because it brings to us, as we were just speaking about the very beginning in Colossians 1 and 14, we have forgiveness for sin through that blood that was shed. He came and he did it lovingly and willingly and freely, so that we might go free. We show the Lord's death. Yes, its broken body, yes, his shed blood. But we profess and show something else also. We are telling people that He is my Savior. We are telling and giving a public statement by coming from our seats and joining at the table with the rest of the Lord's people. We are telling for everyone who sees us that we love the Lord. We follow Him, we trust Him. He is my Lord. He is mine, and I am His. I depend upon Him. I rely upon Him. My life is given to Him and takes significance only as He guides and leads it day by day. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who keeps me and every one of His people. We are showing something. We're giving a public demonstration to all who see us of where our allegiance lies, who we love the best, who is our greatest friend. And what else? Remembrance of a death. Revealing of meaning. Third word simply is resting in fellowship. We gather round the table. And by gathering round the table, we're coming into fellowship with Him. We are under His protection. There, as we gather round the table, there is the atmosphere of His love for His people, because it is not the table that belongs to the Free Church. It's not the table that belongs to any man or any organization. It is first and foremost and only, it is His table. It is gathered in His name, and we look to Him to be amongst us and to be with us. And we look for His fellowship with our soul. And as we gather there around His table, not only is there fellowship, but there is also feasting. By faith we are drawing from Him and feeding our soul upon Him. We are taking more and more of what He gives us, teaching us through the symbols, through the teaching, through the preaching, through the comments that are made throughout the day and through the service. Each one of them perhaps opening a little further the Scriptures for us, telling us a bit more of what Jesus Christ has done for His people. And there's a feasting of rich things there for His people. There is there spiritual food for our soul. We love to take it. We love to feast upon it. But not only is there that feasting upon the food, there's a feasting upon Himself. With all of the things that go on about our communion time, with all of the extra services and all of the different activities, we must never lose sight of the One who's at the center of it all. He is the One that we look for. We gather on Wednesday in our prayer meeting, and the burden of our prayers will be constantly that He Himself will meet with us around His table, and that we might see Him and enjoy fellowship with Him. He abides with His people. Nobody will separate them from Him. That's the kind of commitment He has with His own. Inseparable. And not only is that fellowship with Him, but there is also that fellowship sideways with others. We are many, but we are one body in Christ the Lord, every one of us, members one of another. That's the fellowship that we have with the Lord in His Word, around the table, with His people. We rest in that fellowship. What else do we do, and what else does it mean for us? Remembrance, revealing, resting. There is also, the psalmist tells us, we are renewing our vows. We are recommitting ourselves to the Lord. Remember what it said. This is the covenant. This is the covenant we're entering into. Covenant of the New Testament in my blood. We are entering into an arrangement. And we are making a commitment. Maybe that took place many, many years ago, when first we came to the Lord, to His table, to publicly identify with Him. But every moment and every opportunity since then, we are renewing that age-old vow. We are saying to people, this is my God. He is my God. They are my people. And I will be their God. We are renewing our vows. We are setting Him as the priority of our life, the desire of our souls. There are times between communion seasons when the vow that we make sometimes is chipped away. It's weakened. It grows cold. There are times when the fingers that we have of faith around and gripping the Savior can be prized slightly loose, and our grip might be slipping. And we have these moments from time to time given to us by the Lord when we can come and grip that little bit harder. We can renew our vows to the Lord. Over these services, God gives encouragement in different ways to all of His people. He gives tokens, He gives assurances, He gives little signs and encouragements of what He has done for every one of His people. And whenever we gather together what God has given us, whenever we think of God's goodness and mercy to us, just for a moment, sit down, you alone with your soul. Just for a moment, sit down and switch off the things of the world. And just for a moment, think of the spiritual good things God has given to us. The way He has broken in when we weren't expecting it. The way in which He has come in His grace when we didn't deserve it. The way in which He has come and blessed us. Our life, looking down through the years, is full of these signs of His goodness and of His mercy. And when we gather them all together, they are a fearful weight. And they are a fearful claim upon us. And the only adequate response that we can make, the only adequate reaction we can have, is to dedicate ourselves to Him again. I'll of salvation take the cup. On God's name will I call. A living sacrifice to the One who gave His life as a sacrifice for me. We renew our vows. God is true to His covenant and to His vow and to His promises. We can never pick up even on the slightest defect in the covenant and in the arrangement on the part of God. There is nothing. Joshua says it, I keep on visiting it. It's a great text. Not one thing that God has promised has fallen to the ground broken or disappointed. That's God's performance. Track record, 100%. But what about ours? We renew our vows and make afresh our commitment to Him. Remembrance, revealing, resting, renewing. One last and one simple last thought. What is and what does the communion mean to us? It is rejoicing in Him. Psalm 122, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. That's part of the songs of ascent. When the children of Israel were gathering together for the great feasts in Jerusalem, and they would be singing these particular psalms. And when they would come over the hill, and there they would see in the distance the city and the temple. These are the kind of words that they would be singing because they were glad as they were going there. So it is with ourselves. We are not going to a funeral. We are going to a festival. We are rejoicing in what God has done for His people. He died and He rose again. He is ascended and enthroned in glory. He is ruling there for the good of His church and over His people. And we know Him as our Savior and our Lord and our Redeemer. People are strangers to God. People don't know Him. People's lives are lived apart from God. But we know Him, and the knowledge that we have of Him and the experience and the dealings with Him fills us with joy. And because we've tasted that He's gracious and He's good, all that we want is more of the same. It's a means of grace, our communion season. Our faith might be weakened. Our knowledge might be limited. Our life might be stuttering and stammering and stumbling along. But these occasions which the Lord gives to us are for our good. To come apart and to rest a while with Him. To have our minds lifted and fixed upon Him. To have our joy deepened, our faith strengthened, to have our lives equipped and aware of His presence with us, and for His joy, the joy of the Lord, to be evident on the surface of our lives. What do you mean by this service? What then does it mean to you? A time of rejoicing, of celebration, of remembrance, spiritual refreshing and recharging, a time of fellowship with the Lord. These are the essential qualities for God's people as we move forward to remember this death of our Lord. What do you mean by this service? Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are in much need of teaching and instruction. The mold of darkness upon us has twisted our lines of thought and reasoning. We place ourselves underneath that teaching of Thy Word, and we pray for light by Thy Spirit upon it to shed upon our lives. Give to us then, O Lord God, a measure of appreciation of who we are and our need of the Saviour for sinners. And take us by the hand and bring us to that place where we see the Lord as the one altogether lovely and beautiful to our soul, that we might trust Him, that we might follow Him and commit our lives to Him. Lord, in Thy grace, wilt Thou not do these things in us and for us? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and the first verse, and show me that, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me. And do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. Thy tender mercies, Lord, I pray thee to remember, and loving kindnesses, for they have been of old forever. My sins and faults of youth do thou, O Lord, forget. After thy mercy think on me, and for thy goodness great. God good and upright is, the way he'll sinners show, the meek in judgment he will guide and make his path to know.